It is time to take a look at what is going on over in the world of movies. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Tess. You make the world of movies seem so far away.
It is for me. I mean, I'm hopeless.
They're just a few clicks away on your computer sometimes, even.
You're right. I really should watch more movies, but I just trust you to give me all my opinions for me.
Excellent. I'll be happy to do that today. I'll start with a movie called On the Basis of Sex. It features someone who you might have seen a brief glimpse of if you'd been watching the State of the Union address last night. It's a biopic, On the Basis of Sex, about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This stars Felicity Jones, Armie Hammer, Sam Waterston and Justin Theroux. It's directed by Mimi Lader, who did films like Pay It Forward and Deep Impact. Felicity Jones, she stars as American national treasure Ruth Bader Ginsburg in this based on a true story biopic. We pick up the story in 1956 as Ruth attends her first classes as a freshman at Harvard Law School, only to be confronted by the inherent sexism of the law school dean, Irwin Griswold, played by Sam Waterston, and the institution itself. An example of that being there aren't any female toilets at Harvard Law School.
Whoa!
We then jump forward to 1959, where Ruth, it's about 1959, 1960 or whatever, where Ruth just can't get a job anywhere because she's a woman, she's married, and also she's Jewish. And she ends up having to make do with a professorship at Rutgers University Law School. So she does all right out of it, but she'd prefer to be practicing law, obviously. The story then jumps ahead 10 years to late 60s, early 70s, when Ginsburg advocated as a volunteer lawyer for the American Civil Liberties Union in the case of a man claiming a sole carer's tax deduction. Now, this was like a revolutionary case at the time because at the time, only women could claim the sole carer's tax deduction.
Okay.
So Ruth stepped in and said, well, actually, that's kind of sexist.
Most things in this world are kind of sexist.
And disappointingly, this is where the film sort of finishes.
Oh.
Yeah, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg has had quite a career since the early 1970s. You know, 1993, I think she was appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States. Hence, you would have seen her at the State of the Union address if the camera had panned across to all the members of the Supreme Court sitting there. So there's a lot left out of this biopic. I understand that it's very difficult for a biopic to capture, a person's whole life, but this film, even at 2 hours, seems to only capture the merest essence of her. The focus of Ruth Ginsburg as wife and mother tends to distract from her many achievements in practicing law over the last 40 years or so, or 45 years, and changing the way Americans live and even think. Felicity Jones, she's still good as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, highly intelligent and feisty, but much of that energy kind of feels a bit wasted in sort of too many cliched scenes battling it out against the man, either in the form of crusty old Irwin Griswold or the supposedly right-on ACL dude Mel Wolfe, played by Justin Theroux, or the potentially lecherous employer back in the late 50s, early 60s. That this film only focuses on one case argued by Ruth Bader Ginsburg really doesn't do her reputation as an American feminist jurist icon justice at all. It could be the fact that TV actor and from Law and Order, Sam Waterston, features so prominently in this film, but at times On the Basis of Sex just felt like a Lifetime telly movie.
Oh, you know? Good.
Yeah. So you can tell it was a film that was aimed at the Academy Awards, but it's one that just doesn't quite hit the mark. For more detail on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life and work, you should try and find the 2018 documentary RBG.
Okay.
It's out there and you'll probably learn a lot more about Ruth Bader Ginsburg than you will from this film. On the Basis of Sex, probably not sexy enough, really.
So because it's only focusing on that, 10 or so years, 10, 15 years, as opposed to everything she's done ever since, is it a small portion of her life in great detail?
Well, it's little snippets of her life. We do look at that case, and I guess it's seen as the stepping stone that kind of launched her into national prominence, but I would have liked to have seen more scenes of her arguing other cases on the basis of sex or gender, as she sort of changed the term to. Yeah, it just felt like it ended where it was only just beginning.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg deserves better.
She does.
What else have we got?
I'm going to talk about a film called Kapanom. It's a Lebanese film. It stars a bunch of unknowns. Most of them have never acted before, including Zain al-Rafaya, Yordano Shifarur, Haita Izam, Korsa al-Haddad, Fadi Yusuf. Nadine Labaki also acts in it. She's probably one of the few real actors.
known actors.
This film is also co-written and directed by Nadine Labaki, who's done films like Caramel and Where Do We Go Now. Now, the opening scenes of Kapanom, they take place in a Beirut courtroom. 12-year-old Zain, played by al-Rafaya, his namesake, is suing his parents for giving him life. Over the next 2 hours, we get a very good idea of why Zain is so angry at his parents. They don't let him attend school. They use him and his siblings to hustle for money as fruit juice vendors on the street. They make all six or possibly seven. We never know quite how many children there are in the family. They make all six or seven of them share the same bed and then effectively sell off 11-year-old sister Sahar, played by Azam, to be married off to the local sleazebag shopkeeper once she's comes of age.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah. Zain understandably does a runner because he thinks this is a pretty bad life and ends up living with an illegal Ethiopian immigrant, Rahil, played by Shifarur, and her infant son, Jonas. She gives him shelter and food whilst he looks after little Jonas. But then Rahil disappears and Zain finds out that Sahar is no longer living in marital bliss, not that she ever was, and things take a turn for the even worse.
Oh, God.
I guess you could describe Kapanom as like exaggerated social realism. Clearly, there is a problem in Lebanon with many, many people, particularly children, existing rather than living in poverty. Plus, many people in that country are also undocumented, meaning that they have minimal civil rights. And director and co-writer Nadine Labaki is obviously quite empathetic to this and has created, I guess, the ultimate gut-wrenching scenario for the audience to endure. Zain is a resilient and resourceful, but he's really only heading in one direction. That's probably prison, no matter what tricks he has up his sleeve. Like I said, most of the actors in this film are first-timers drawn from similar worlds, so that gives it that air of authenticity. Similar worlds to the characters in this film, Zain, Rahil and Sahar, so they're all incredibly convincing. My only quibble would be that Zain al-Rafaya looks about 8 years old.
Oh, no.
Rather than the 12-year-old he's supposed to be playing. So this tiny little boy, I don't know it's because he's malnourished or whatever, but he just looks way too small to be 12. Kapanom, it's unapologetically emotionally manipulative and maybe 20 minutes too long, but it does do a fantastic job in capturing the mean streets of Beirut from a child's perspective. Kapanom, it actually means chaos, and the film does feel a bit scattered at times, making confusing leaps back and forth in the timeline, but ultimately the pieces of the film do come together to create a very nice picture.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Pleasure.